that anyone who studies Voglin, it seems, ends up becoming a really good fucking blogger or writer, because all the writers on this site are extremely proficient and intelligent, and they got great stuff. That's high quality, intelligent stuff without crazy political extremism. It's like, you know how Bob really likes the LaRouche stuff because it's smart, but all those people are fucking insane. Voglin views that level of scholarship, but they're not fucking insane, you know. They're not political radicals. they're actually mildly conservative, you know.
You don't think they'd be radical if they had their druthers to, you know, if you actually put the controls of society in their hands? You don't think they would make radical reforms, maybe? Or no?
Yeah, well, yeah. I feel like the Voglin people would be the last people to fight for power, but if I had to elect a weird academic sect to suddenly become the philosopher kings and take over, I think the Voglin folks would be pretty high on my list, you know?
All right, well, I think you just sealed their fate. The aliens are going to quote you on that, and the Voglin folks are going to get a message the day after the arrival being like, guess what? You've just been appointed Supreme Chancellor of renovating modern culture. Because
so be some, it.
One of Bob's friends says you're the most qualified, so you have a week.
All right. Bob, we're making it happen. We're sticking the random ass academics who write about Eric Voglin all day in charge of the world government, okay?
They'll be the last people to suspect. They're like, we weren't even seeking power. It's like, yes, that's why you can be trusted with it.
Perfect. Sorry, Clinton, I was muted. Yes, happy to hear that you'll be working for me. That'll be nice.
Oh, yeah, that's what I said. All right.
I don't know if you could say the LaRouches are insane. The media presentation makes them appear sane, but they don't say the Queen pushes drugs. You know, it's not up there on the street corner. They're talking. Basically, what they say is that the level of the oligarchy in England are irresponsible to allow the laundering of money in the banks. That they should do something about it. You know what I mean? And that's a nice middle-class position, a righteous position of, well, you know, if you guys have a problem under electric conditions to keep visual space going, well, then let's talk about it. Let's get it organized and stop having the mafias take over. That's the solution.
Right. I suppose by insane, I meant more like the cult of personality around Aristotle being evil. LaRouche's particular historical lens, where he's able to fit everything into this intrigue, metaphysical intrigue, the war between these ideologies and these conscious agents of these ideologies who are faking all of history in their, you know, the Platonists.
Okay, so what he says, and this is why the Vatican supported him. Is that humans have a soul. Now, I don't know what that is, but he says they have a soul. And if you judge thinking based on your sensory reality, the mechanics of your senses, then you're going to be seriously limited. Now, Plato is cool because he says there's something beyond your senses. So that's a Christian view, probably. Not that Christians are philosophically astute, but LaRouche does that. He puts it, he says, here's the argument. And if you have leaders who are just living for the moment within their senses, they will cause stupid poor people to proliferate because they're not concerned about the soul of everybody. And the soul doesn't mean you have to pray. No, you have to learn to think and pick up on what Plato did with the Socratic dialogue and then all the knowledge that came from that, whatever knowledge you have. It goes beyond talking, thinking about it. So it's, again, the original values that people told you our educational system came from in North American culture. You know, 200 years ago. It's what they taught. And that's what he stands up for. And he says he can do it better than what the schools did because they're not that smart. And they don't know where it came from, and they never question everything they know. Plato, Lucius, for questioning everything you know.
Oh, what was I just reading about radical skepticism? Right, it's a. You think this is a Cartesian strategy? Questioning everything you know.
Well, that you would question radical skepticism too. Basically, to LaRouche, you know, knowing McLuhan stuff pretty good, that not many people do, I can put McLuhan in there. So LaRouche is advocating for percept, but he calls it concept and thought. He's a dialectician, you know, thinks about ideas in the head. He doesn't talk about rhetoric and grammar, though he does say Cicero and those guys are cool. So it's actually, if McLuhan was forced to lay out a curriculum, he'd have to write like LaRouche, if he really meant the values that he said he was as a Catholic.
Bob, did McLuhan have a contempt for grammar?
No. He said we needed a new grammar for film and television and radio, and that the book grammar did not apply. And so that's what he updated grammar.
So is that why you said, are you updating grammar by saying he understood it pretty good when you said that, when McLuhan understood it pretty good? I think I'm quoting you properly there. Yeah. Now, it should be McLuhan understood it pretty well. A lot of the time you seem to be playing fast and loose with grammar, I notice.
I don't say I'm a grammarian, okay?
All right. Okay.
As I would like to say, if you ever ask Bob what he thinks, he'll say, well, here's what Thompson thinks. But then McLuhan thinks this, and then LaRouche, they just run it up and down the chart. You know, what other people think, I don't tell you what I think. All right? So, but anyways, following this point, so McLuhan, what's interesting about McLuhan is that he would, yes, if we went back to the 19th century, he'd say, yep, we'll teach LaRouche stuff. But he pointed out, and nobody understood it right away, that our LaRouche program won't work under electronic conditions. He saw that something totally tragic was happening with electric media. And not even saying completely tragic. He saw services of it. But his point was that then I don't care what you think you are, how smart you are in the literate world, you're irrelevant today. And that was a good criticism of the traditionally smart people who ran the Gutenberg Galaxy.
Hmm.
That's what he was about, wouldn't you say, Clinton?
I'm trying to find this.
A unique view of what was the consequences of all this toys, electric toys we were playing with, giving our kids at Christmas. So that's the point, Greg. Probably McLuhan is more right within the moment than LaRouche, because he says we've got to look at what's happening to our situation with this new electronic media. And you can say he was right if you were negative about today.
So I'm looking through the Campaigner archive here.
Oh, yeah. LaRouche Youth Movement? That might get you there.
There was... where is it? There was an issue... I have it on my tablet, but I don't see it on the website here. About the secrets the elites don't want you to know.
Yeah. And 1978.
That article. Oh, okay. So I'm looking at a page that says that the archive from 76. Maybe it's a different page for 78.
Yeah, it's in I have the issue. It's 1978, like May or June.
Here's the page I want. So there's an article. Yeah, that article has got hit so many different points that McLuhan touches on, but completely back, like in the complete opposite to what McLuhan says. They're almost complete mirror opposites of one another.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right.
this story. I think it's called History Secrets.
I'm glad you bring this up, Clint, but let me say this. The McLuhan point is, I don't have any ideas to tell you about. I don't have concepts or a novel. I'm telling you, you better turn off this environment. That's all I'm telling you. And if you look historically, I put a book together showing how much the books change the world. So we can assume that the new media is going to change the world. And it's not good for our values. That's all he was saying. It was a very simple public warning about this plague. Now, nobody in the media thought they were a plague. They didn't understand it. They didn't want to talk about it. But that's all he did, Clinton. That's why he said, I'm not offering concepts. I don't have a theory of consciousness. I'm telling you, perceptually, this is going to cause a big problem. And, of course, it was a problem in schools and high schools. Even Zappa did a song, Why Johnny Can't Read, you know, like the late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing about education has been a hot topic, you know, for 50 years. We're all sick of it now, but it was, right? What's going on in our schools? And the administrators, they brought in businessmen to run the universities who didn't care. And they just, as the money thing dried up due to electric environments, the digitization of the economy, they did anything to keep the university going, so they got too radical or too extreme about sports. So they turned it all over to the football coaches so they could get some money. So that's panic. And then Croker develops it even better. It's panic reality everywhere. And that's what McLuhan warned about. That's all he did. You know, and because he had written about the history of criticism, people start saying, where did this come from? Oh, he was a scholar of the symbolists. And they go into all this shit. That's not relevant to what he was saying. He was being a practical citizen, saying, we got a problem here, and we need to look at it. As a citizen, he was speaking. That's all. Okay. Back to your secret elites there.
No, that's a good summary. That's a good way to explain what he was doing in the 50s and 60s. Just like, hey, yeah. Guys, let's – right? And it's because he – the thing is he was anchored very well in culture and history and had this conscious idea of how to train perception. Like he had a ground for training perception. Here's how to learn to look at everything, right? What you got out of here's how to learn to look at, you know, the way people use words, right? His analysis of grammar turned into just an entire mode of perception for everything that was fashioned by human hands. But this piece here, the secrets known only to the inner elites. Here, I'm gonna post. You might have to go to page 12, which is funny, because that's the page where he's calling all of Judaism a hoax.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's like, you know, the Old Testament was a hoax created by Babylonians to enslave people, right? but,
woof.
Yeah,
I don't... I'm not about to endorse that. Holy crap.
No, right? Yeah. It's just a little weird.
I'll look into all the claims, and I'll be very interested in it, but I'm not...
Well, the claims is only one paragraph. It just...
There you go.
On the same page, though, he goes and he creates this three-level idea of knowing. The Platonic method distinguishes three qualities of knowledge or mental levels. You got common sense, and then you've got reason, and then lastly, right, you got simple belief or common sense. Then you've got understanding, and then finally you have Socratic reason. If you go to page 13, there's like a diagram. And Socratic reason is knowledge based on self-conscious comprehension of the process which characterizes the historical progress of scientific knowledge. A process identified in Christian theology with atonement and outlook with the Godhead, the Creator. I think this is exactly what McLuhan would call really Gnostic. This idea of of like this platonic tier of ascending of like building your way into higher levels of being, right? This is exactly in this paper he makes fun of Bernard de Clairvaux and Aristotle, obviously, and Thomas Aquinas for like, I think it's like taking form, you know, for like exactly the way that McLuhan says to describe to, sorry, hold on. I'm trying to read at the same time while I talk and that's screwing me up. Where the fuck is it? Aristotelianism, apostolic Christianity, always and rightly so, regarded Aristotelianism as an organized force for evil, as did the greatest religious thinkers of the Renaissance. Even Thomas Aquinas belatedly associated himself among such thinkers by acknowledging during the period before his death that all of his preceding writings had been fundamentally in error. So Aquinas gets off because he disclaimed everything he ever wrote just before he died.
Oh, great. Yep. Nice.
Yeah.
Shows some foresight, though.
Yeah, clearly Aquinas knew that Lyndon LaRouche was going to judge him 1,000 years later, and did the right thing and recanted his mistaken respect for Aristotle. Anyway, I'm not doing a very good job of summarizing this because it's been like a month since I last read it, but
so Cliff,
I think, yeah.
Wait
a minute, Greg. So yeah. You'll see, I'm talking about your three levels, Clinton, there. I think it might be later in that essay, but it's all over the place in his other essays. So, you know, you read a paragraph where it talks about the Bible, and it's just one paragraph. You go to another issue of The Campaigner, and there's a whole article done by somebody, or LaRouche, filling in the details of that. Okay? Now, the philosophical terms are simple hypothesis, the higher hypothesis, and then the hypothesis of the higher hypothesis. Those are the three technical terms of the stages of understanding that Plato laid out.
Right.
And so it's interesting. I think that's interesting. The hypothesis of the higher hypothesis. That's questioning the hypothesis. Right? So that's the three levels. Simple hypothesis, higher hypothesis. Most people are at higher hypothesis. They think that's thinking. They don't get to the hypothesis of the higher hypothesis.
And that's the self-reflection that he's referring to there.
I just want to bring in something here. This is Alyssa, right? Is that you, Alyssa? You listening?
Well, this is a rare treat. This is a rare treat. Alyssa's listening.
Okay,
I'm
Alyssa,
listening, guys.
Okay, you're properly plugged in. We can hear you. I think I'll leave you're a smart person, educated. I think you could be part of this dialogue. And another point, Roxy is saying that she might be coming back.
Yes.
Almost free of her academic requirements, so we'll see. But anyway,
who's
going to
get kicked out? Who's going to get kicked out?
Me.
Oh.
No, nobody's going to get kicked out.
Okay.
I'm going to hang out for another half hour, then I'm going to go play tennis. So,
right. Do you have any
La-di-da.
About the LaRouche, you don't know anything about that, right, Alyssa? I'm not going to bring you in if you don't know anything. So do you have something to say about it?
I don't know anything, Bob. Yeah, we've talked about the higher hypothesis of the hypothesis. It's a really good point. It follows Bob's eight levels of the mind. Absolutely. That's been my big theme this year. But I thought it was a really good summary how you you broke down academia and what it means to be literate, you know, and smart. And that's kind of like a little pat on the head for everybody in this crew, including myself, you know.
No, not great.
Not great, okay.
You're talking about when I explained what McLuhan was about?
Yeah, well, yeah, it was a great summary, like Clinton said, about how he wasn't really giving any ideas. He was just giving a warning to society. Yep. But prior to that, you had said how the environment of the technology broke down literate values and what it meant to be book smart. I thought that was funny.
I think LaRouche doesn't get that. No, nobody else in the Goober world does either. They don't get McLuhan's saying. And then it gets, once you realize what McLuhan's saying, he then didn't say, we're going to turn it off forever. No. We're going to turn it off for 6 weeks or a month, see what happens, then bring it back on. Because it is actually a higher decibel of consciousness, he said. It's higher than the literate world, this TV experience. It's a whole new resonance. So he was very balanced about how to proceed with the problem. But no one knew what the problem was. And he always said, I'm a guy who told my neighbor his roof's on fire, and I get accused of wearing the wrong clothes.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So the three levels of hypothesis, Clinton, I appreciated reading that since I didn't go to school. I learned about the philosophical structure from LaRouche, right? Like that, like those three terms. I didn't know that, and I don't think anybody else knows it today.
Yeah, I've got a different summary here I found in a different issue. It's tearing apart Carl Sagan's Cosmos, but
right.
The section reads, the essence of science is not existing scientific information, nor is it scientific artifacts such as pictures of Mars, telescopes, or lab coats. All existing scientific knowledge is subject to being superseded by new discoveries, and the artifacts and apparatus of science are still more ephemeral. What is real, what is permanent, and essential about science is not specific discoveries, but the methods by which discoveries are made and can continue to be made. This creative method, scientific method, called the method of hypothesis, was developed in ancient Greece and summarized in its most elaborated and explicit form in Plato's dialogue Timaeus. The core of this method is the belief that the laws of development of the universe are coherent with the human mind's own notion of lawfulness, so that the truth of the universe is fundamentally knowable to man. As Plato's follower, the great Renaissance astrophysicist Johannes Kepler put it, quote, geometry is one and eternal, and a reflection of the mind of God. That mankind shares in it is one of the reasons to call man an image of God, end quote. The human mind, being fundamentally perfect, is capable of understanding the plan ordering the heavens.
Yeah, now, a great paragraph. That's a great paragraph. To point out that science is not the artifacts or what you think fucking science is because you've arrived at a certain conclusion about evolution or something. No, there's new discoveries, new things. It's a basic point, but no one ever says it. So when I read that, I said, wow, that's pretty neat. I was really glad to read that. Now, all the time I was learning conceptually from Roosh, I was thinking, yeah, but McLuhan has got a bigger problem here, Lynn, than what you're talking. You know, your rearview mirror here is very interesting, but it's not the issue. So that's what I would always think when I read LaRouche. So I never became a member of his thing, but I love reading that kind of stuff you just read. It's reasonably intelligent, and it has this unique angle reminding people that science is not making conclusions.
So he hints at tactility, but he doesn't
It's not a body of knowledge. Sorry.
Yeah, that's Aristotelian. So that's what Aristotle did. He took the dialogue of Socrates, and he fucking made all these categories and classifications. And he made it an encyclopedic big thing. You know about everything, but you're a fucking dummy.